Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin, increasing and reaching your child's full potential. Each week, our objective is to help you as a parent, guardian, or loved one direct the path of a young person by empowering you with knowledge and understanding. Each week, you will be enlightened and moved into a position of positive parental involvement and influence. I am Phyllis Austin, and I am the founder of the National Parent Education Center, where we educate parents on education, help parents create quality education for their child, and advocate with parents on educational issues.
Hello, and welcome to another lesson in the classroom. Hi, I'm Phyllis Austin, the Classroom DNA. Today's lesson is Into Your Child, Do and Speak Life. Into Your Child, Do and Speak Life. Our call-in number is 347-855-8603. Again, 347-855-8603. Our goal and our objective every week is to make sure that you have something, more knowledge, more diversity in your skills, in your language, as you interact with your children to make sure that they can reach their full potential and, of course, get a quality education. I thought about this show. It really, and I've always talked about your child being a winner when they come into this world. And I'm going to say it again and again and again. I'm going to tell this brief story. When your child enters this world, or before you find out that there is a little one in the womb, before all of that occurs, the sperm has to be the first. Okay, the sperm that fertilizes that egg has to be the first, and number one, they're a winner, or they are at least tied for first place if they're a twin, or your child is going to be a triplet or multiple birth or whatever, multiple children. I should say not multiple, but yeah, multiple births at during that moment when they're born. So your child comes into this world as a winner. What happens? Well, generally what happens, the environment that they come into, the reason why there's a lack of them reaching their full potential is because no one has really taken the helm to decide, wow, we are going to do and speak life into this child. Sometimes we're just not trained to know what to do, and we may not have the knowledge of what to do. And that's what today's show wants to focus on, to make sure that everyone who's listening to the show has an idea of increasing and bettering their parenting skills, get that parenting standard up to an acceptable level that works well for your child. And so I asked today's question, is your child the walking dead? Do you speak life into your child? Okay, and I got a lot of responses when I put the show on Facebook, so I want to thank the audience. Is your child the walking dead? What do you mean by the walking dead, Miss Austin? Is it just walking, breathing oxygen, just going around, but you see that there's no life in their eyes? So my mother used to say the windows are the eyes to the soul, and the soul is where that spirit is. But the windows are the eyes to the spirit. You just don't see anything coming into them. Well, you're going to have to speak some life, do some life, do and speak life into your child. I thought about a verse that I learned, and just to let you know, I have a plant named Lazarus, okay? I have a plant, yes, there's a plant in my house named Lazarus. And the reason why I named the plant Lazarus, because one time a family member, my husband, was going to throw it out, okay, because he didn't see any life into it. And he got a hold of one plant and did it. And this plant, I kind of saved this plant. I'm like, you threw away the other plant, this one we're going to keep. And I watered it because sometimes things just look dead, okay? It's not that they are not without life and happiness and everything. They just look bad. So what did I do? I watered it. I spoke life into it. I took the things that needed to do as far as what you're supposed to do for a plant. And if there was any sign of life in that plant, guess what? it started to flourish, it started to manifest itself. And every day I speak to Lazarus, I say, hi, Lazarus, how you doing today? And Lazarus is this great medium-sized plant in the home. And Lazarus, I use Lazarus because of Jesus. Imagine if Jesus told Lazarus he was stupid and dumb on us. Why in the heck are you lying there? Okay? You think Lazarus would have moved? No, probably not. Instead, Jesus spoke life. He said, take up your bed and walk. And that's what we're going to talk about, speaking life into our children so that they can take up their bed, and that bed represents the sense of their body, that life. Take it up. Use it. Okay? You got it. Let's use it. And I want you to call in. Let's go to our first commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about speaking, doing, and speaking life, and talk about how to build that foundation for that child as they develop in your household.
Chicago's Black Business Radio Network, all black, all news, all you.
Author Lenore M. Johnson comes to her new book, 101 Strategic Job Search Marketing Tips, the helpful checklist guide to all things considered workforce readiness and social media smart. This readiness guide attempts to assist the job seeker with a plan to better your career with the use of digital technology and social media. So purchase your copy of 101 Strategic Job Search Marketing Steps at Amazon.com. Also available for Kindle and Audible downloads. These books are flying off the shelves, so make sure you get your copy at www.amazon.com.
Have you been injured in a car crash, slip and fall, or dog bite incident? Has a loved one been injured or killed as a result of birthing negligence, nursing home neglect, or a work accident? Legal-Chicago.com helps Chicagoans find the right lawyer for free. Our work is making clients whole after they've been wronged by the negligence of others. Our work is connecting Chicagoans with the right lawyer for their case. Legal-Chicago.com's mission is to put cash into clients' hands. Legal, the hyphen symbol, Chicago.com. Visit Legal-Chicago.com for a free consultation and membership to our network of attorneys.
Black America, why are we still afraid? Black America Asking Ourselves the Tough Questions by Sonia Cassandra Perdue is now available on Amazon.com or at askingourselvesthetoughquestions.info. Can you answer the tough questions? Pick up your copy today on Amazon.com or at askingourselvesthetoughquestions.info. And let's get tough.
Chicago's Black Business Radio Network, all black, all news, all you.
Great, and welcome back to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin on today's show. Today's lesson is about making sure your child is not the walking dead. We want to talk about doing and breathing life into your child. So the title is Into Your Life, Do and Breathe. Into Your Child, Do and Breathe Life. Raising a child is similar to building a house. However, instead of bricks and mortar, wood and nails, parents rely on actions and words. So the question is, what do you say and what do you do is similar to bricks and mortar when it comes to raising a child. You want the best builders for your home and you want the best of your parenting for your child. So the first thing when you start to build a home, you start to build the foundation. And the first food and words that you want in your foundation as you start to raise that child is love. And every environment should have an understanding of agape love, not the emotional love that goes and comes. I hear parents like, I don't love you today, or get away from me, I hate you. When you bring that child, as if you're pregnant right now, you start to conceive, or you're raising a little one, look around at that environment. Are people or will people actions towards your child, including yours, be based on how they feel that day? If they are, that's not the love we're talking about. We're talking about agape love. Agape love is a devoted love. You decided that you are going to do the best for this child. I remember when I became pregnant for my first child, my sister, she stated to me, she said, it's really not about money. Well, back then it wasn't as much. It's about quality time. And I actually thought about it. I said, wow, it's about time. It's about putting the time into raising your child. And at that point, what she was saying, or the way it came across to me, I have to be devoted to my child. I thank my parents and my mother, especially in the church that I attended at that time, well, Unity and Universal Foundation for Better Living. I think that I got the understanding what agape love was, what it is. It's a devotion. It's an understanding of having decided, I am going to treat you the way Jesus or a higher understanding, a higher power, however you decide, God treats us. And it did not matter what the situation was. It didn't matter if the child threw up on me because they weren't wearing a helmet or they were jumping off the couch and hit the radiator. I had to take them to the hospital. My children are probably listening to me. It didn't matter if they got upset and said some things, you know, because kids would say, you know, I don't like you, or better yet, I hate you. It didn't matter. I'm going to love you, as George Wallace, I believe, was it George? I think some guy who Tom Jones talked to was George Wallace. I love you. There's absolutely nothing you can do about it, because every day I have already decided that I am going to treat you with love and do loving things to you. Do things like love you in the way that I speak, love you in the way that I nurture you, that I discipline you, that foundation. More importantly, anyone who comes around you, okay, I am going to, at my best, and on my best, they make sure that they understand that there's a certain way that they have to treat you. They can't come into my house or around you and belittle you, okay, and talk about you. When I say raising a child is like building a house. In my book, Preparing to Power, I talked about the roof scenario. We're going to get to that roof scenario later in the show. But I want you to think about this. If your roof is leaking, do you go and get a piece of paper, plastic bag or something, put on top of your roof? No, you go investigate where the leak is and use good material to stop that leak. So when something is going awry in your house, you don't go and just tear it down, use poor choices, poor material, something. You go and you investigate, especially when it comes to your child, if something is going awry. Lazarus was dead. Jesus didn't go and say, hey, what the heck is up? You know, he said, speak life. And that's what we do. Make sure that foundation is a devoted love. So at this time, learn. Look at the people who are around your child. Look at the village. The people you selected to be around your child, to be in that environment. And sometimes you have to tell them, look, I'm bringing a child into the world. You have to prepare the way. You have to make sure everybody understands. Sometimes you have to train the people. This is what I want. And in some cases, guess what? You have to get up and move. If the mindset or it's not in them to change for tradition or whatever, for them saying, who knows, lack of knowledge and understanding, feeling they could treat your child anyway, they're just going to be another kid on the street, you know, little whatever, then you have to get up and you have to move. It may not be the right environment for your child to grow up in. Set that foundation, and you can teach people about love, okay? But the first thing that you want to do is to understand that love is not something that comes and goes based on your feeling, not the type of love that we want for our foundation. We want agape love, and that's a devoted love to say, no matter what's going on, I'm going to make sure that I take care of this child properly. And if you don't know, read a book. Find out. Open your mind, okay? It's not about knowing everything. It's about knowing when you don't know something and going to get the help, okay? When we return, we're going to talk about the backbone of the seven parenting principles, those four principles that make up the backbone. We know that the first principle, love, makes up the foundation. When we return, we're going to talk about how we do and speak love for the backbone, those support materials and beams when it comes to building a house and properly nourishing that spirit that's is called your child. Okay.
Hi, I'm Phyllis Austin. You know, parenting is very difficult. I don't know too many parents who can raise a child to 18 years of age without getting stuck, not knowing what to do. So I would like you to visit householddna.com and view the Household DNA Parenting Pyramid. Learn about the seven principles of parenting, four of which you should be actively doing every day. Next, visit phyllisaustin.com and click on the Power Bookstore for great parent resources. You can pick up my latest book, God Has Not Forgotten You, written for teenagers and college students. While there, get your copy of my ever-popular book, From Parent to Power, Don't Parent in Fear. Visit phyllisaustin.com today for your book and parent resources. Thank you.
Welcome back to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin, and today's lesson is learning how to do and speak life into your child, reminding you that that's very important. The next area, talk about the backbone. When you build a house, you got to have the support material and the beams, and that's what the backbone, these principles make up the backbone of the child. What's going to support them? What's going to be like that support material as you build a house? Because we stated earlier, I stated that raising a child is like building a house. There are four principles that make up the backbone. We already discussed one of them, love. The other three principles are peace, protection, and provisions. Peace, protection, and provision. So the four principles, again, are agape love, not just some emotional love that comes and goes based on your emotions, but agape love, peace, protection, and provision. So let's talk about these four principles that make up the support beams of raising a child, or the backbone, making sure that child stands erect, okay? Move that child into authority. When they speak, they have confidence. Okay, they have confidence to come to you and tell you. They won't operate out of fear. They know when they don't know something, and they will learn and grow into being a wise person. They won't behave foolishly. And that's what you are doing with the support beams. When you operate and speak and do love, peace, protection, and provisions, you are helping that child to grow and to stand erect, and for that spirit to come through and show out, okay? I used to love when I hear people say, show up and show out. Not out in terms of look at me, but in terms of I am here for a purpose, whether that purpose is to do my work, whether it's a purpose, but I'm here for a purpose, and I do it at a standard, the highest standard that I can do it, in which I can do the task. Okay, the support beams, love. We talked about agape love. I want to remind you to do love. Love is not a noun. It's also a verb, to do love. I always say, you know, at work and in my daily tasks, when people say things to me sometimes, I question what they're trying to accomplish, okay? Something came up this week, and someone was telling a story, and I said they should have been trained. And the person stated to me, it was talking about parents, and the person stated, you can't teach certain skills. And what they were saying, you can't teach certain skills to older people or parents. If they don't have it, they're never going to get it. Now, everybody knows that totally goes against my philosophy, okay? I have a belief that anybody who's willing to learn can be trained. That's my fundamental belief. in saying that, I also understand that we have to do more, have more compassion and empathy. We never know what a parent is going through when we discount them. And I state that I can't treat you by discounting you, because if you are of God and I discount you, I discount me. That's just agape love. I have to treat you like I want to be treated. Do I want people to discount me or to train me, to show me? I'm open for learning. You know, take that extra step. And that brings us not only to understand what agape love is, to do unto others as you want them to do unto you. And there's a really good piece of information out there, writing by a brother, I can't think of his name, but he wrote The Commitment and the 27 Principles Behind Agape Love. So I am going to post that link on this show. You heard me speak of it before. And it talks about what that doing, that love one another, what that doing means, what it looks like when you do love one another as God has loved you. But also the peace. We resolve conflict. We talk about peace. We talk about resolving conflicts to the highest good of individuals involved. Focus on the issue, not the person. You know, I hear people walk away all the time when there's conflict, and people walk away. They feel good. I get what I want. It's not about you feeling good. It's about the other person feeling good. It's not about you feeling right, but it's also about, in your rightness, can you make the other person feel okay? Can you value them? Can you show that you value them? A lot of times in conflict, we forget, one, that we should love them, which means we should treat them like we want people to treat us as we try to resolve the conflict. And we also forget, in the midst of conflict, to look at the individuals involved. We can get to right and the right solution without tearing people down. Okay? I remember I would tell a parent, I said, now, you're right. Do you want to prove that you're right and hurt the individual, or do you want to get to the right? That means go through the process, okay? Getting to the right and taking that individual to a higher level of understanding, where they feel that they have learned something and accomplished something, and you have learned something and accomplished something. It's not all the time of being right. Sometimes it's based on, is it the right thing to do, or should we get to right? Okay? Can we get to it? Someone told me it's in the presentation how to help you with getting to peace. Okay? I don't think it's simply just in the presentation. It's in the process of getting to the solution, just not tearing people down to show I'm right and you're wrong, but getting there and being honest about it. And that takes it to a higher level. But next, we've talked about love, peace, protection. Protection. You just can't, as parents, protect your kids. Protect your kids. And when you do life, you speak life. This scenario came up, and it's a true story. When I would go pick up my children from events, I like to be on time. I think it makes a statement, especially when your child is waiting around, that their parents showed up on time. Gosh, do you know the sad faces of children who are left, the last ones left to be picked up by their parents, especially if it's a habitual habit. That's redundant. If it's a habitual process of the parent constantly picking up the child late for no other reason than for some selfish action that interferes with picking up the child on time. When you go pick up your child on time, a simple task of getting there on time to pick up your child, you say to your kid's going to interpret it as, my mother's here on time, my parents are here, they care about me, they want to make sure that they pick me up and I'm not standing out here in the rain. They may not say all of that in their mind, but they think in some way they're going to interpret that. Kids internalize a lot of different things. So as a child, you want them to internalize, hey, my parents care about me. It's very important. Provisions, food, shelter, clothing. Provisions is our fourth principle that helps to build that support beam so your child can stand erect. Food, shelter, clothing. But not just any food, not just any shelter, not just any clothing. Stuff, clothing that says, look, we value your life. And it doesn't mean that the food has to be expensive. It doesn't mean that the clothing has to be expensive. It doesn't mean that the shelter has to be expensive. But it has to show we value you. You are valuable. You know, in clothing, and I say this for those of you probably going out on a Saturday morning going to shop for clothing for your child, someone said, if you're willing to show it, you're willing to let it go. Whatever you're willing to show, you're going to let it go. And that reminded me to kind of use some minimal, use some humbleness, and the clothing should cover up certain parts. You are valuable. I know you can't wear that. That's showing you just flaunted. No, there's more in you than the flaunt body parts, okay? Good food. Good food. I remember when I first started going to the farmer's market in Decatur, Georgia. And I brought home bread. I brought home all this food, just natural, no more processed bread and all this. I was in my little habit. I was seriously going to make sure my family ate correctly. And you know how kids, they frown up. Well, I never forget what my son did. My daughter loved the natural peanut butter. But my son said, oh, this bread is good. The bread is good. This bread is good. And it didn't have all the junk in it. But good food. Good food. My daughter taught me how to juice. She brought her juicer home. And I had a problem with my knee. But I started juicing. Went and bought me one. And my energy level. So it's not just provisions. It's not just the things. But make sure that they're showing that your life is worthy. Okay? So it's not about the expensiveness. It's about the value. And value and expensive things are two different things. Okay? I'm not talking about value in terms of being cheap. I'm talking about value in terms of something money can't buy. Money can't buy the value of a child. There's no amount of money that can buy how much my child is worth. And I want to make sure that my children understand that they are showing that they are of value. They're inside. Because once they're able to see value in their inside, it's going to be very difficult for people to tear them down, to cause them not to stand erect. Okay? So, when we talk about, let me just recap those support beams. Peace, protection, provisions, and love. When we return, we're going to talk about the daily maintenance, what you should be feeding your child every day. So we'll be right back.
Hello, this is Phyllis Austin, founder of the National Parent Education Center. When I first started this organization, I wanted to make sure that parents understood what a quality education is and what it looks like. Do you know that most state constitutions only provide for an adequate education? Here at the National Parent Education Center, we help parents create and receive a quality education for their child. Please support our efforts by making a $5 donation. You may donate more, but please donate. Visit tnpec.org and donate now. Thank you.
For Classroom DNA show topics and information, text tnpec.org to 23559. Again, for Classroom DNA show topics and information, text tnpec.org to 23559.
Welcome back to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin. Austin, and the lesson today is do and speak into your child life. Okay? And we start off with the question of the day. Is your child the walking dead? Is your child the walking dead? Before we talk about killings and the destruction of our youth, a lot of times, unfortunately, parents have already killed the child's spirit. Now we have the child born in an environment of love, because we know we have to create that environment of love. That's the foundation. We're going to make sure that child stands erect, okay, by understanding that as parents, we have to, of course, operate out of agape love, but make sure we know how to resolve conflict based on meeting the highest, not just being right, but the highest needs of the individual involved, protections and provision. And now we're going to talk about the daily nourishment. Coming home every day, I knew my house was a safe environment. Kids know when their house is a safe environment. It was a no-brainer. I knew that my mother, I was raised in a divorced household with a single parent. I knew my mother was not going to bring people around us who were destructive, who were probably could do harm. And we were trained for conflict, and she made sure she was involved. She didn't just send us to a place to play or whatever. She made sure that she checked it out first. I remember when my niece lived with us, and I was home. I had finished college, and I was staying with my mother. And my niece wanted to go over a friend's house. And my mother said, well, I have to talk to the person and find out more about their family. And my niece, boy, she just, I remember, and my mother said, well, I can go, or Phyllis can go. And I went. Of course, my niece said, well, Aunt Phyllis, let her go. I went over there. I came back. I said, there's no parents at home. She said, well, and then those kids going to be up there doing everything they want to do. There's no parents. There's no authoritative figure. There's no one watching out for what kids do in a household after school, just having that freedom. And my mother said no, okay? But my niece was protected. When she lived with my mother, and my mother was responsible for her, she was protected, okay? And that's very important. And even when certain things came up that needed to be talked about as a family, it wasn't sheltered. My sister would call a family meeting in a New York minute. Let's get this out in the open, because if something is going on that could possibly harm these people, we're going to discuss it. And those are the things you have to bring out. As far as daily nourishment, that type of behavior is showing, again, love, a devotedness to demonstrate that you love your child. You're devoted to what they are learning and what they are doing in their life. And that is something you should do daily. So as far as the daily nourishment, the maintenance of a house, we're going back to raising a child is similar to building a house. That daily maintenance, you have to think about daily nourishment, love, something you do every day. Bless and edify your child. And that's very important. I was in a training. I was working with some students yesterday. I had three training sessions. The first training session, I was showing them Blackboard Collaborate. And I went around to each child, and I stated, I acknowledge your presence, and I thank you for being here. And I acknowledged every child in that classroom, that first training session, had a great training session. Why? Because that was just a way of blessing and edifying them. Sometimes when you're in a rush as a parent to leave out in the morning, just turn around and say, I love you. Text them in the morning when you get there. I didn't tell my child I love them. I love you. I acknowledge you. I saw you this morning. I was in a classroom last year, and I told the kids to get into a circle, and two students they got into the circle, in the center of the circle, and I said, just say what you acknowledge about the kids. What's great about the other person sitting in front of you? And the young lady at the end of that task, she said, "Miss Austin, thank you." Why? Because that was her daily nourishment. We have to give wisdom. So not only love and bless and edify the child, to edify means to approve of, to enlighten. We pray for things we approve of. When you bless and edify, you respond with good words. You love in the words that you speak and in the tone in which you speak. Not, hey, get over here. Okay, hey, get over here. I want to show you something. You are speaking life. So we have love. We have blessing, edification, wisdom. Help the children to discern what's true and to do what's right. And the last one is guidance. Every day, especially while that child's in your household, and even when the child goes away to college or is somewhere else, every day, see, can you reach out? And we got a lot of different communication devices. We have text, we have Facebook, we have vehicles to communicate. Reach out and show and some type of guidance, manage. You know, to educate means to bring forth. It's in them. We just have to bring it forth so they know that they have it. I don't know about Joni, and I want to talk about Joni. Joni wasn't a part of my household. You know, going to school was difficult enough. Kids would talk about you, and they talked about me. I got talked about. When I would come home, I knew that I was in a sanctuary, and I never forget, and I'm going to say this, when I would go to school, I remember the kids would say, "Your lips are big." I never forget that. And now it's fashionable to have big lips. They go put Botox and everything in them. Isn't that amazing? But when I was coming up, that wasn't fashionable, I guess. But your lips are big. You're bald-headed, okay? Now people short, cutting the hair or whatever. And when I go home, when I would go home, my mother would say, she wouldn't allow Joni in the household, so I didn't understand how you tear a person's spirit down. That was unacceptable in our household. But she will always say something to make me feel better. And that was really great. Always would say something, whether it was, even if it was something I would learn about, well, your ancestors from Africa, you know, wasn't Elizabeth, I can't think of her last name. So Cleopatra was black. Your ancestors from Africa, there were queens and different things. This is the way they look, and you're fine. And I love that. I didn't come in moping, and my mother would say something like, "What's wrong with you? Get that look off your face. You're looking ugly." I can only imagine what type of person that would lead to, how that would hurt my spirit, if that's what I heard. Okay? So daily maintenance, guidance, wisdom, bless and edify, and love. I stated I was going to talk about the roof earlier. And before the end of the show, I want to talk about the roof. When a child is experiencing difficulty, I stated raising a child is like building a house. When you have a leak in your roof, I just don't think it's common sense to look up and say, "I have a leak." Why that leak exists, okay, unless you're trying to find out what caused the leak or where the leak is, okay? And when you decide to repair it, you may have someone go look at the roof, but you're going to do some type of investigation. And when you get on top of the roof, or when you finally find a hole in the roof, what you going to do? Are you going to just talk about it like it's going to magically fix itself? Or are you going to call a roofer? Maybe you will put a bucket in the attic to capture the water so the water won't do more damage. And then maybe you will go to a store and buy a tarp. But you wouldn't just talk about it like it was going to magically fix itself. And that's the same thing that we need to do with our children. When our children have issues, when they have problems, let's investigate. Let's find out what's going on. Sometimes you may need to go get an expert, a counselor, to see what's happening. Okay? Check out their credentials just like you'll check out their roofer. Check out their work to make sure they didn't mess up somebody else's roof so they don't mess up your child. And that goes for ministers and everybody. We've seen lately in the last 10 years, even ministers and people of so-called status in our community are not there for the right purpose and may do harm to your child. But get those persons. Learn. You know, learn something about how roof fixing or repair should work. Learn something about what tools you may need to help your child in this case. Know when your child don't have the skills to deal with something effectively. Know that. Know when their spirit is being broken. We're coming down to the last few minutes of the show. We actually went over time. But I never forget when a parent was talking about her child and the school wasn't doing what they needed to do. And I said to the parent, I said, you know when your child is learning if you talk to them. You know when your child is hurt. Have those conversations. Go back to dinner around the table every now and then or take them out to dinner. This is a spirit you have been responsible for developing and making sure their purpose come across. And using these seven principles, okay? And they are also on the website. You can go to householddna.com or householddnaparentingpyramid.com. You can also go to phyllisaustin.com and tnpec.org, the National Parent Education.org, and you will find the seven principles. But using these seven principles, your child won't be the walking dead, okay? Your child will learn to stand erect and proceed through life with life. I thank you for listening to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin this Saturday and learning the lesson of doing and speaking life, life, doing and speaking life into your child because life is worthy. Again, I hope that you learn the lesson of doing and speaking life into your child. Until next week, I thank you.
Welcome to Chicago's Black Business, Business Radio Network.com. All black, all news, all you. Listen to Classroom DNA with Miss Phyllis Austin and touch it up with Molly B. Weekly. Visit us at Chicago's, that's Chicago with an S, Chicago's Black Business Radio Network.com for showtimes. Interested in joining us as a broadcaster? Send us an email at cbbn2012@gmail.com for details. That's cbbn2012@gmail.com for details. I'm Sonia Cassandra Perdue, executive producer.